This is the second side of the interview with T. Norman Hurd, director of the budget under both Dewey and Rockefeller. I asked him the question, with whom else should I talk here in Albany? I've talked with Charlie Foster in the business office of the central administration, George Dudley, one of the three commissioners or trustees of the construction fund. I will be talking with Larry Murray on Friday, and I am now talking with Dr. Hurd here at the Rockefeller Institute of Government.
If you wanted further information on what could be called the budget side of developments at Stony Brook, as far as the Albany area is concerned, there are two men who would be, I think, helpful to you. One is Donald Axelrod, who is the Deputy Budget Director during one of the formative periods for Stony Brook. He is here in Albany. His name and number is in, are in the phone book. And another is Paul Vallette, V-E-I-L-L-E-T-T-E. Vallette.
V-E-I-L-L-E-T-T-E.
He succeeded Donald Axelrod with respect to responsibility for higher education. He lives across the river in Westchester County. I'm not sure how to find him by telephone. My guess is he's in the office today. My guess is he'll be there on Friday. Because this is a busy time for budgeteers.
Right.
So if you were just to call the budget office, I think it's still 474-2300. They could help you find Vallette.
Now, the budget office is located where now?
On the first floor of the state capitol. Director's office is in the southeast corner. It's diagonally across the street from the telephone company building. I don't know whether you remember that or not.
Hi, it's on State Street.
It's right on State Street.
I think I have a pretty good idea.
I don't know enough about the present personnel in State University. After all, I've been out of government for 12 years, come next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Either Axelrod or Vallette might give you names of others that they think might be helpful to you.
Well, this has been extremely helpful.
Okay.
And it's very enjoyable.
Very good. My suggestion is that you, well, while you pack up, I'm going to look up the date and reference on the time that Governor Rockefeller was at Stony Brook. It was in 1962. Well, I must have been wrong because I don't see it. But I know he was there.
I think I remember that occasion. I think there was a luncheon at the Three Village Inn.
That sounds familiar.
Well, that would be very helpful if you would do that.
Yes, I appreciate it. I was sure I had a reference to that. See if it's...
See, you have done your homework with regard to the questions.
When I saw your letter, I realized how little I knew about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just took down the public papers that I had for Rockefeller and for Dewey before him and just checked everything that did have or might have some significance. I'm surprised. I was sure it was 1962, but I don't find it.
It was sometime after the groundbreaking, the initial groundbreaking.
No.
I was not there then. But I remember another groundbreaking, whether it was for the Earth and Space Science Building or not, I don't know.
Well, there's a statement on page 940 of the public papers of Rockefeller for 1961.
I see.
1961, page 940, it says, Stony Brook, new $6.9 million program including a library, physics building, and biology building. And I think that might have been the day that they were dedicated. It adds, in design are a physical education building of $2.7 million and a first engineering building of $2.3
million. Yes.
So it might have been that one, the year 1961, page 940. I started again on 62 because I was almost sure it was there. In 1962, on page 1395, he made another statement on the Stony Brook, but it doesn't say exactly what the occasion was. It said, Stony Brook plans, 10,000 students expected, completed chemistry, BD, humanities, and the service delivery group, and some dorms. That was in 1962.
Well, when I came, the humanities building was completed.
Mm-hmm.
And my office was in the humanities building.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a history of multiple uses of each building.
Uh-huh.
And then finally moving out to a separate building.
I see. Well, if you're interested, I'll give you a quick tour through the building.
I'd like
just for you to see what it's like.
Thanks very much.
And when we get to the fourth floor where there's a who's who, I'll look up Sidney Tipton.
The preceding interview with T. Norman Hurd, H-U-R-D, was conducted by Carl Hartzell at 411 State Street, the Rockefeller Institute of Government. I had known Norm Hurd since 1945, when he was at the College of Agriculture as the director, and helped me with the chapter on agriculture and nutrition of my book entitled The Empire State at War, World War II, published by the state in 1949. I had sent Norm the following questions in the mail for him to check over before we talked. I prefaced the questions as follows. As for the questions, here are a few aimed at clarifying the early thinking about the structure of the state university system, the location of the four university centers, and the special character of Stony Brook. We are trying to lay the basis for a brief history accounting for the creation and rapid development of this particular university center into a nationally recognized institution. We are interested in answers to the questions who, why, and how, as well as what, when, and where. We view this task as making a contribution to the history of post-World War II public higher education in America. The questions were, one, what were the principal contributions to the development of the state university system of Governors Dewey, Harriman, and Rockefeller? Was the concept of the nature and functions of the state university system already in place when Rockefeller became governor? Did he modify it? Two, how did the location of Stony Brook on its present campus come about? Who took the initiative? Harriman, Rockefeller, Frank Moore, Clifton Phelan, or Ed Melville? Who handled the negotiations? Three, what was the basis of Rockefeller's interest in public higher education in New York? When did he become interested? Why? Personal conviction? Political wisdom? Who were his advisors? Four,
Who appointed the Hill Commission? Why? How seriously were its recommendations taken? These specifically mentioned Stony Brook. 5. What changed the thinking about the mission of the Long Island Center that had been established in Oyster Bay on the coal estate in 1957? Whose idea was it to have a, quote, master plan? How did the appointment of the Muir Commission come about? 6. Rockefeller was at the groundbreaking for the Stony Brook campus. Is there a record of what he said at that time? 7. With whom in the University Central Administration did you have direct dealings, that is, Dr. Hurd? With respect to Stony Brook, did you see eye to eye on land acquisition, library, equipment, and facilities budgets, faculty structure, and salaries? Norm suggested that I get in touch with 2 people in his office, one of whom was Axelrod, saying that they would have more detailed information on this question than he. 8. How clearly did you think the central administration understood their responsibilities for higher education in New York? Was their thinking within a state or a national context? What was your impression of their vision and competence? 9. What was your impression of the quality of leadership at Stony Brook? 10. What was your impression of John Lee? Under what circumstances was he let go? To what extent did that event focus attention on the question of the nature and future of Stony Brook? 11. What was the role of the governor in the appointments of Sam Grew and Ernest Boyer? Hurd said that he thought the governor had had no input on these appointments, that they were strictly matters for the Board of Trustees of the State University. 12. Were you aware of the manner in which the name of John Toll came to the attention of Sam Gould? This he did not know. 13. What was the contribution of Toll to the development of Stony Brook? He had no input on that. 14. What is your impression of Stony Brook today? Those were the questions that I asked him in the mail, and I added one at the beginning of our conversation. What commitments were already made to Stony Brook by the time Rockefeller came into office? Hurd was extremely cooperative. He is a very meticulous, precise individual, and quite objective in his point of view. I think the information will be useful later on.